So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, I am here.
Hare
Thank Krishna, you very much.
Prabhuji. Please accept
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat.
All good to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, yes. Prabhuji, for giving a valuable association every week. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now you can take over the class. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It is my great fortune to be in your association, Association of All the Devotees. So we are continuing our study of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. We are doing chapter 19. We are going to do two verses today, 220 and 221. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Verse number 220. Ishvara Jnana Sambrama Gaurava Prachura Seva Kari Krishna Sukha Dena Nirantara. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. On the Dasya Ras platform, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed with awe and reverence, with awe and veneration, by rendering service unto Lord Krishna. The devotee in Dasya Ras gives constant happiness to the Lord. Verse number 221. Shante Raguna Dasya Ache Adhika Sevana Ataiva Dasya Raser Ei Dui Guna. Translation. The qualities of Shantaras are also present in Dasya Ras, but service is added. Thus, the Dasya Ras platform contains the qualities of both Shantaras and Dasyaras. Om Agyan Tirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha, Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavadanyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gaura tvise namaha pancha tatvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण आई वुड लाइक टू वेरी हम्बली ऑफर माई रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज हु आर लिसनिंग थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर एंगेजिंग मी इन योर सर्विस वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग आवर स्टडी of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we are reading Rupa Shiksha, the nectarian and very, very important instructions that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, imparted to his beloved disciple and servant, Srila Rupa Goswami. And here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is continuing his description of the various relationships that devotees of Krishna have with Krishna. We are all eternal souls, and eternally each and every one of us, all of us, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Komodaki Mataji, Shama Rasika Mataji, Shama Gauri Mataji, everyone, all of us, each and every one of us, regardless of who we are, we have a unique and individual, personal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. All of us. Currently, we are in a conditioned state where, because of our misuse of independence, because of our desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, we have come to this material world to try to fulfill our impossible desire. And what is this impossible desire? The impossible desire is to become happy without Krishna. To have Ram Rajya without Ram. To have Ananda without offering service to Satchidananda, Shri Krishna. And Krishna has designed this material world in which all of us, we are living right now, in such a way that it is a jail and it is a hospital. It is a jail because of our own desire. Because we want to separate ourselves from Krishna, because we want to forget Krishna, because we want to become Krishna. We want to become God. We want to become the master of our own universe. We have come to this jail. And we are given a universe. Each of us, we are masters of one universe. And what is that universe? It is our material body. It is our material body. Just like the Virat Roop of Krishna has a head,
has a chest, has a belly, has arms, has veins and arteries, has legs. Similarly, this form which Krishna has given us also has head, chest, belly, arms, legs, etc. So this body of ours is like a mini universe. We know what is going on with this body. We can feel, we have consciousness, we have feelings, we have emotions, we have desires, we perform activities with this body, and we feel that we are the controllers of this body. However, the truth is that we are only partial controllers of this body. There is another occupant in this body, and that is Krishna. Krishna loves us so much that when we demanded a separate universe for ourselves, Krishna gave it to us. But like a loving father and a loving mother, he accompanied us. He came with us. All right, you are leaving my service. You want to leave me and go away? What can I do? I have given you free will. I will not interfere. I will not take away your independence. You go, but I will also come with you. I will come with you in a way that I will not interfere with your selfish enjoyment. I will let you have your journey, but I will stay by your side always. If and when you choose to turn towards me, my dear child, I will be there for you and I will take you back. When you want to come back, your Goloka Vrindavan will be waiting for you. I will take you back. And my servants will help you to develop the desire to come back. My servants will help you to become purified. And therefore, not only does Krishna come with us in the form of Paramatma, but from time to time, he becomes visible to our eyes. He comes in many forms. He comes in his guna avatars, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. He comes in his leela avatars, which we can see from time to time, even in this so-called material world. He comes as Sri Narasimha Dev. He comes as Sri Ramachandra, Ramachandra. He comes as Sri Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. He comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many avatars Krishna takes just to reclaim rebellious, lost souls like us. He comes as Manvantara avatars. He comes in the form of Yuga avatar, Leela avatars. He comes in the form of his avatar as Archa Vigraha. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna avatar. In Kali Yuga, he also comes as Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna avatar. He takes avatar as his own name. So many incarnations, so many opportunities, so many chances Krishna is giving us. Krishna not only accompanies us, Krishna not only incarnates in his personal forms to bring us back to our natural state of real happiness, but Krishna does something more. He sends his eternally liberated souls to the material world. They are also Jivatma like us, but they are not Nitya Baddha. They are Nitya Siddha. They are not eternally conditioned, but they are eternally liberated souls. Therefore, they can help us go back home. If we are lost somewhere in a shopping mall, in a hospital, in a marketplace, or wherever, in a building. Someone who knows the directions. If you are looking for the CEO of the company, someone who works for the CEO every day, someone who is the personal secretary of the CEO, he can show you where the CEO is. He can bring you to the right elevator, take you up straight to the office of the CEO. That is Guru, Sadhu. Krishna not only gives us directions in the scriptures, but he sends his personal associates to help us. And many times these associates are in the Dasya Bhav. We are studying the Dasya Rasa today. Dasya Rasa is Shanta Rasa. You add Seva to it, lots of Seva, and it becomes Dasya Rasa. So Shanta Rasa, we saw, was the embodiment of pure attraction for Krishna. All the anarthas are gone and there is pure eternal attraction and attachment to Krishna. That is Shantaras. You add Seva to it, it becomes Dasyaras. That is what we discussed in the two verses today. These acharyas, these liberated souls who Krishna personally sends to the material world to bring the lost souls back to their eternal spiritual home, are often in the mood of servant, Dasya. Today is a very auspicious day. Today is the disappearance day, the Tirobhav Tithi, of one such great, eternally liberated Acharya. Can anyone guess whose disappearance day it is today?
Bhishma Dev, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, is Bhishma Dev.
Today, Mataji, it was yesterday. I think the disappearance day of Bhishma Dev was on Makar Sankranti, if I understand correctly. Is it not?
Yes.
Bhishma Dev left his body on the auspicious day of Makar Sankranti.
Prabhu,
but today,
disappearance of Madhava Acharya, Madhava Acharya.
Correct, Mataji.
Yes,
today is the divine Tirobhav Tithi of Shripad Madhavacharya. And we, all of us, we are in the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So it is very essential for us to discuss this. Because Madhvacharya is an incarnation of Hanumanji. And Hanumanji is in the Dasya Ras eternally. And it is the Dasya Ras that we are discussing today. In Goloka Vrindavan, the planet in the spiritual world in Vaikuntha, there is a topmost planet called Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally resides with his pure devotees. There, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are eternally served by a gopi. Her name is Madhavi Gopi. And this gopi assisted Sri Sri Radha and Krishna by descending to the material world as Shripad Madhvacharya. Previously, Madhvacharya was the wind god, Vayudev. In Treta Yuga, he appeared as Hanumanji, who is a combined expansion of Shivji as well as Vayudev. In Dwapara Yuga, Shripad Madhvacharya appeared as Bhimasen, the cousin of Krishna, one of the five Pandavas, Bhimsen. He came as Bhim, the mighty, powerful Bhim. And in Kali Yuga, he appeared as Madhvacharya. So it is said that Madhvacharya is a combined incarnation of three personalities, Vayudeva, Shri Hanumanji, and Bhimsen. How this is possible is inconceivable to our contaminated mind. We can talk, we can try to explain it with words, but truly, this is achintya. This is inconceivable. How Madhvi Gopi from Goloka Vrindavan can appear as Vayudev, as Hanumanji, as Bhim, as Madhvacharya in the four yugas? It is truly inconceivable. There are many things which are inconceivable. Last week was the disappearance day of Sripad Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is said to be an incarnation of Ananga Gopi, the younger sister, Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Srimati Radharani. And Garuda Ganadesh Dipika, written by Srila Kavi Karanapur, who was the youngest of the three sons of Srila Shivananda Sen, Kavi Karanapur writes in Garuda Ganadesh Dipika that Gopal Bhatta Goswami is an incarnation of Guna Manjari. So we see this all the time. We see this all the time. So how do we understand this? It is said that this is really inconceivable. There are different commentaries on this, but it is truly inconceivable. It is said that Krishna can empower a jivatma to expand, to incarnate. It is by Krishna's Leela Shakti that this can become possible. Another example is Srila Haridas Thakur. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that Haridas Thakur is an incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. Whereas Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that Haridas Thakur is an incarnation of Brahmaji, Lord Brahma. So how this is possible is very inconceivable. But we can understand that it is not impossible. For Krishna, anything is possible. Even on the material plane, we see that the ghosts, the bhutapret, the ghostly spirits, they can enter the body of another human being to try to fulfill their own desires. We know this. Sometimes certain human beings, they become possessed with ghostly spirits. So there are two souls living in that body. So that is, we know that from a material plane. Now this material world is an inverted reflection of the spiritual world. Urdhva Moolam Adha Shakha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Urdhva Moolam, the roots are going upwards, Adha Shakha, the branches are going downwards. So this material world is an inverted reflection of the spiritual world. Here, when two souls come in one body, there is a conflict. There is a disturbance. We feel that the person is possessed. Split personality. There are so many names. But on the spiritual plane, when two personalities come together for the service of Krishna, it is very harmonious. But exactly how this is done, I have read some articles by certain exalted devotees. It is very inconceivable how. The conclusion is that Krishna himself empowers them to make this happen. For example, when Krishna descends to the material world, he comes with his parshads, he comes with his associates. And we know that it does not mean that Krishna has left the spiritual world and the spiritual planet is now devoid or bereft of Krishna. No, Krishna is still there eternally. But he personally comes down also. So he expands himself. And then when he comes, his eternal associates come with him. And some of them are Jivatma. For example, Yashodamai comes. Nanda Maharaj comes. Madhu Mangal comes. Subala comes. Lalita Devi, Vishakha Devi, they all come. So this doesn't mean that when they came to the earth planet, there was no Vishakha Devi or there was no Lalita Sakhi in Goloka Vrindavan. No, it is not like that. Krishna empowers his Nitya Siddha Jivatma devotees to expand just like him. And if Krishna cannot do that, then what is the meaning of Supreme Personality of Godhead? For Krishna, there is nothing impossible. There is nothing impossible. And even if there is something impossible, Krishna will make it possible. And yet it remains impossible. It's very difficult to understand. For example, when Krishna's friends are entering the mouth of Aghasur, demon, Krishna was thinking, how do I save them? How do I prevent them? And then Krishna wanted to call them back, but it was too late. Now, how can Krishna be too late? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kalosmi, I am time. Krishna is beyond time and space. So how can Krishna be late? Anything is possible by Krishna's Shakti. Specifically, Krishna's Leela Shakti makes the impossible possible. Makes the impossible possible. So, Krishna is really inconceivable. Now, if we say that something is... For God, everything should be possible. For Krishna, everything should be possible. That means to have something impossible is not possible for Krishna. Means Krishna is lacking that. For example, for me, so many things are impossible. For me, so many things are impossible. But for Krishna, nothing is impossible. That means I have something which Krishna doesn't have. Because for me, there are so many things which are impossible, but for Krishna, there is nothing impossible. But no, for Krishna also, there are so many things which are impossible. But Krishna wants them to be impossible for him. For example, it is impossible for Krishna to repay the gopis for their pure love. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that, Ye yatha maam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyam. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. But in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna tells the gopis, I cannot repay you. Pratigya bhanga hoila gopi re bhajane. Gopis, by their sadhana, by their bhajan, they have made Krishna's pratigya that I will reciprocate accordingly to be false. So this is Krishna. He is truly the supreme enjoyer, and for him, nothing is impossible, yet there are some things which are impossible because he wants them to be impossible. That is our Krishna. So Krishna can make it possible. Madhvacharya is a combined incarnation of Vayudev, Hanumanji and Bhim. And at different times, Madhvacharya displayed different powers to prove that he is Vayudev, to prove that he is Hanumanji, and to prove that he is Bhim. We have around 30 minutes, so very quickly we'll just discuss two pastimes of Shripad Madhvacharya from which we can learn tremendous practical lessons for our day-to-day life. Today is the Divine Disappearance Day of Shripad Madhvacharya. We are in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, the Sampradaya coming from Brahmaji, Sampradaya coming from Madhvacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it is very, very imperative, it is very, very essential for each and every one of us to think deeply about the greatness of Madhvacharya. In fact, if we look at our Sampradaya is from Krishna, the
Divya Gnan comes to Brahmaji. From Brahmaji, it comes to Narad Muni. From Narad Muni, it comes to Vyasdev. And then suddenly it comes to Madhvacharya. But Madhvacharya was present on this planet around 800 years ago. Whereas Vyasdev disappeared from the mundane vision 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago in Mahabharata, there are many, many instances where Vyasdev came on this planet and he was visible to the general population. He came when Satyavati, his mother, called him to beget children from Ambika and Ambalika. So he begot Pandu, Dhritarashtra and Vidur. He came several times to guide the Pandavas. When Draupadi Devi was married to the five brothers, he came and he gave praman. He gave evidence from the scriptures that this is bona fide. In special circumstances, extraordinary lady may marry more than one man. So he came that time when Sukhdev Goswami was narrating Srimad Bhagavatam to Parishat Maharaj. Vyasdev was present. But after that, there is no mention of Vyasdev coming on the earthly plane. So in our sampradaya, after Vyasdev, suddenly 800 years ago, there is Guru-Shishya relationship between Vyasdev and Madhvacharya. And then it is an unbroken chain from Madhvacharya, because Madhvacharya was there only 800 years ago, 750 to 800 years ago. So Madhvacharya is the link between our sampradaya and Vyasdev. Vyasdev is an incarnation of Krishna. In the first canto, it is mentioned that Narad Muni is an incarnation of Krishna, Brahmaji is a guna avatar of Krishna, and Vyasdev also is a empowered incarnation of Krishna. So Narad Muni, Vyasdev, these are incarnations of Krishna, but they are more like Shakti Avesha avatars. Avesha means Krishna empowers them. They are empowered incarnations. Whereas incarnations like Sri Narasimha Dev, Lord Ramchandra, they are Leela avatars. They are complete Purna Purushottam Bhagwan incarnations. So from Vyasdev, the direct connection with the humans is through Madhvacharya. So it is very, very essential for us to understand the greatness of Madhvacharya, because without Madhvacharya, our sampradaya has no standing. It's a Madhvacharya sampradaya. Just like the Sri sampradaya is called Ramanujacharya sampradaya. So the preeminent acharya of our sampradaya is Madhvacharya. And after Madhvacharya, then it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Madhvacharya appeared around 800 years ago in South India, in a small village. His family name, his parents' family name was Bhatta. He appeared in a small village very close to Udipi. And when he was 5 years old, his father performed the Upanayan Samskara. He was given the Brahmin thread. And he was born in a very pious family. His father, Bhatta, he was a very, very learned scholar of the Vedas. And although Ramanujacharya had already accomplished a lot of preaching, still there remained a very significant influence of Srila Shankaracharya's impersonalistic philosophy in India. So when Vasudev, Madhvacharya's birth name was Vasudev. When Vasudev was very young, he was 8-9 years old, he met Achyuta Preshak, his spiritual master. And he was in the Shankaracharya line. So he took initiation from Achyuta Preshak. And he started preaching. Vasudev read a lot of Vaishnava literatures and he started preaching in his village. But he used to not preach what Achyuta Paresh taught. He used to preach not what Shankaracharya taught. He used to preach pure Vaishnavism. He used to preach that Lord Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are all His servants. And he wanted to take sannyas so that he could leave his village and travel and preach all over Bharatvarsha. So he told his father that I am going to go and stay in the ashram of Achyuta Paresh and I am going to take sannyas diksha from him and then I am going to travel all over the country, all over the subcontinent to preach Krishna Bhakti. So Vasudeva was the only child to his parents. So the parents said, you are our only child, you are our only son. Please don't take sannyas. Father especially was very, very strong. He said, no, I will never give you permission to go. But Vasudeva said, I am going to stay with my guru in his ashram. And I am going to take sannyas. I am very determined. Seeing his determination, Vasudeva's father, he fell down at his son's feet and started begging him, please, please don't break our hearts. Please don't go away. Please don't take sannyas. Because see, in those days, there was no phone, no internet, no Facebook page, no YouTube channel. Once your child takes sannyas, he just goes away. Traveling to holy places, studying the holy scriptures, preaching the message of the Vedas all over the country, all over the Indian subcontinent, you practically never see or hear about your child again once he takes sannyas. It was like a social death. Sannyas was social death. You never see your child again. So Vasudeva's father was very heartbroken. He said, please don't go. Please don't go and take sannyas. We cannot live without you. And he fell at the feet of Vasudeva out of desperation, started begging him, please don't go. And Vasudeva, with great compassion, told his father, my father, just see, you are begging, you have fallen down at my feet, you are offering me obeisances. You never do this unless your child is a sannyasi. A father bows down in obeisances to his son only and only when he is a sannyasi. So you are yourself giving me permission to take sannyas by offering obeisances to me and by falling at my feet. Saying this, Vasudeva tore his cloth and tied it into a kopin and wore it like a sannyasi. His parents requested him, please don't go. Please don't take sannyas. You are our only child. Out of compassion for his parents, Vasudeva said, all right, if by the mercy of Krishna you get another child, you get another son, then will you allow me, will you give me blessings and permission to take sannyas? And his parents agreed. So Madhvacharya, Vasudeva, little 9-year-old boy, he prayed to Krishna. And by his prayers, by the blessings of Krishna, his parents were blessed with a second son. When his brother was born, Vasudeva reminded his parents of their promise and said, now please give me permission to take sannyas. But his parents did not give him permission. See, this is the nature of family attachment. It's very difficult. Very difficult to give up family attachment. I was watching the video yesterday, also was the disappearance day of His Grace Stoka Krishna Prabhu. Stoka Krishna Prabhu was a brahmachari in Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir in Bombay. I think in 2005 he left us. He was newly married. He was married just maybe 2 years before his death. And when he died, his daughter was 6 months old. He had never smoked in his life, never touched a cigarette in his life. But somehow, by the will of Krishna, he had metastatic lung cancer, stage 4 lung cancer. Sometimes it can happen even in non-smokers. It's rare. But devotees like Stoka Krishna Prabhu are also very rare. But he, Radhanath Maharaj assured him that your wife and your daughter will be taken care of. The congregation will take care of your family. Your time has come to leave. You focus your attention on Krishna. Prepare to give up your material body. Prepare to give up this bag of bones, flesh and blood. Prepare to give up the attachments with this bag of bone, flesh and blood. And just focus on the most merciful aspect of Krishna, His holy name. Just meditate on Nam Sankirtan. Just focus your attention on Krishna. We will take care of your family. We will take care of your family. They are wonderful devotees. All these family relationships which we have, relationship with our parents, relationship with our spouse, relationship with our children, all these relationships are meant to remind us of Krishna. All these relationships are meant to bring us closer to Krishna. This is easy when our family members are devotees, because with them we can chant Hare Krishna, we can discuss Krishna Katha, we can serve our deities together, we can cook prasad, we can honor prasad together, Krishna prasad. It is easy when the family members are devotees to understand this teaching which Maharaj was giving Stoka Krishna Prabhu. How can we make all our family and social relationships bring us closer to Krishna or remind us of Krishna? It is relatively easy when they are devotees. But what to do when they are not devotees? Well, we can remind ourselves that these are devotees of Krishna. They are just a little bit covered. What can I do to bring out the best in them? What can I do to bring them a little closer to Krishna every day? Can I do that by lovingly giving them some Krishna prasad? Can I do that by being nice to them, so that by seeing my bhakti, they might feel inspired? It is an internal seva. Externally, we don't have to disturb them, preach to them with big words, chastise them, look at them as if they are very fallen, and we are the only Prahlad Maharaj in the whole family of Hiranyakashipu and Kayadhu. No, not like that. We can see that they are also devotees of Krishna, just a little bit covered up by Krishna's Maya Shakti. What can we do to make them happy, truly happy? What can we do to make them, to bring them closer to Krishna? If we are thinking like this, if we are planning like this, if we are meditating like this, even that relationship can make us Krishna conscious. So Maharaj was telling him, all your relationships with your wife, with your 6-month-old beautiful daughter, are all meant to bring you closer to Krishna at the time of your death. Just offer them to Krishna. Krishna, you gave me this body. It has served me well. For many years I was a brahmachari in Radha Gopinath Mandir. It has served me well. Now I have got this cancer. This body is dying. It is useless. I cannot even stand up. I am so weak, I am so full of pain, but I am grateful. I am grateful that I can still remember you. I am grateful, Krishna, that I am still able to pray to you. I am grateful that I am in the association of Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. For this, I am grateful.
I may not be able to feel gratitude for the pain, for the disease, for the suffering, for the impending death. But at least I can feel grateful that I am in the association of devotees, that I am able to think of you, that I am able to offer my wife and my daughter at your lotus feet. Please, please take care, Krishna. Even those relationships which are very, which can very easily become attachments on the bodily plane, can be spiritualized if we have the right consciousness. It's very difficult. It's not easy. It's very difficult, but Stoka Krishna Prabhu did it perfectly. So this is the nature of family attachments. Very difficult. We can do a mental exercise, regularly prepare our minds that someday I am going to have to give up the association of my family members on a bodily level. But on a devotional level, they are chanting Hare Krishna here, I will chant Hare Krishna at my next destination. That way we are together. That is what Prabhupada said to us. You chant Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna. We are together. We are connected to each other because of Krishna. Because you are holding on to Krishna's lotus feet and I am holding on to Krishna's lotus feet. We are together. You may be in America, you may be in India, you may be in some other universe. But we are together. We are together in our seva to Krishna. Jivera Swarupaya Krishna Ranitya Das. We are all servants of Krishna. When his parents said that we will not let you take sannyas, even after having a child, Madhvacharya became very grave. By now he was 11 years old. 2 years had passed. He told his parents very firmly, very gravely, either you allow me to take sannyas, and I promise from time to time, I will come to our village and I will let you see me from a distance. Or you do not allow me to take sannyas and I will give up my body right now and you will never ever see me again. His parents gave him permission. His parents gave him blessings to take sannyas. Achyuta Prayakshin became his sannyas guru, gave him the danda, gave him the sannyas diksha. And then Madhvacharya began preaching. And his preaching was so powerful that his own guru became influenced. But his guru said, I will surrender to you if you write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. If you have your own Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta Sutra, I will assist you in your preaching and I will become your disciple. After preaching very powerfully and converting many people into pure Vaishnavism, Shripad Madhvacharya developed a desire to travel to Badrinath to meet his spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva. It is an incredible journey. Incredible journey. It's a long story. I wish we had time to discuss it, but I just want to discuss two stories that happened en route to Badrinath. Actually, Madhvacharya went twice to meet Srila Vyasadeva. First time he met, he presented his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, which Badrinath, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as well as his Guru Vyasadeva, both accepted. It's a fascinating story. He actually traveled from Badrinath to Adi Badri, where no man has ever gone. Even his intimate disciple Satya Tirtha could not accompany him there. His disciples had to wait at Badrinath and then he climbed up to Adi Badri, which is almost like a spiritual realm where Vyasadeva lives
with his disciples. So there he met Madhvacharya, went, he surrendered his life to Vyasadeva, and Srila Vyasadeva imparted spiritual knowledge, accepted him as a disciple, gave him instructions. And then Madhvacharya came and he wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. He preached his own guru. Achyut Preshtha became his own disciple. And Madhvacharya, he preached all over the Indian subcontinent. And he established 8 mathas. He got the deity of Udipi Krishna, who is a cowherd boy, Krishna, in Vrindavan, holding a stick to herd his cows. He got it in a very mysterious way, in a big block of Gopi Chandan from Dwarka. A merchant gave him, because Madhvacharya saved his life. Fascinating story, we cannot go in the details, unfortunately. But he established very, very intricate, very, very complex deity worship of Udipi Krishna in Udipi. And he established 8 mathas. He had 8 principal sannyas, shishyas, disciples. And he set up a system that by rotation, they will serve Udipi Krishna. Each sannyas disciple had a sannyasi assistant. And each math had the sannyas guru, sannyasi guru, as the main guru of the entire math. And he had an assistant who was also sannyasi. And he was going to be the successor for that math. And only these 2 people, the head sannyasi and the assistant sannyasi, they would be allowed to touch the transcendental body of Udipi Krishna, even till date. For the last 750 years, this tradition has been preserved and followed. And they get a rotation, I think it's every 16 years now. They get to serve. And those 16 years, you know, so many years, the 16 years that they are waiting to get a chance to serve, they are just preparing their consciousness, preparing the articles, preparing the funds, preparing the resources to serve Udipi Krishna properly. After establishing the service of Udipi Krishna, after establishing 8 mathas with 8 principal sannyasi gurus to manage each of the math, and Vyasadeva had given him 8 shaligram shilas, he gave each of the 8 sannyas disciples a shaligram shila to worship at each of the 8 mathas. And after that, he developed a desire to go back and meet his Guru Maharaj, Srila Vyasadeva. And during this meeting, Vyasadeva ordered Madhvacharya to write a commentary on Mahabharata, which Madhvacharya did after coming back. So I want to discuss 2 stories. We are running out of time. Maybe we'll discuss just 1 story that happened when he was traveling to Adi Badri to meet Srila Vyasadeva for the 2nd time. When he was going, there was a king, there was a kingdom through which Madhvacharya and his principal disciples were traveling on foot when they were walking all the way to Badrinath. They were traveling through different kingdoms. When they were going to one particular kingdom in South India, this king was very notorious. He used to do the right thing in the wrong way. This is very interesting. He used to do a pious activity in a very impious way. What he used to do is, for example, digging wells and lakes for agriculture, irrigation, to supply water to the citizens is a pious activity. But he used to do it in an impious way. What he used to do is, he used to detain any travelers or pilgrims who would pass through his kingdom. And he would force them to work in his kingdom to dig wells and dig lakes. And he had soldiers, well-armed soldiers, who would stand guard and force the innocent people who were just traveling, passing by, to almost like prisoners, to stay there and dig the well. And until the project was completed, they had to stay there and continue working, and then they would be released. So he used to get this free labor from pilgrims and visitors and travelers. So when Madhvacharya and his associates, they were traveling, they were detained by the soldiers. And they told him that, Madhvacharya, you have to dig a lake here for the kingdom. So Madhvacharya very sweetly told them that, please allow me to talk to your king. So Madhvacharya was so cultured, he was so powerful, his aura was so powerful, his personality was so persuasive, so convincing, that they could not deny. So they took him in front of their king. And the king thought that he was very smart. The king thought that he was like nobody else. He was very special, the king used to think. So the king told Madhvacharya that, oh, Shripad Madhvacharya, doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter whether you are a grihastha or a renunciate. Doesn't matter if you are a sannyasi. Here is your spade. Go to the field and start working. Start digging. And get your disciples also to do the same. Everybody has to work. Just by sitting under a tree and meditating and giving a katha is no good. Go, work. Dig for me. Madhvacharya looked at the king and said, you are such a great king. I am amazed at your greatness. What you have spoken is true. We all have to work. Amazing. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yad yad acharati shrestha stata deve tarojana yatat pramana kurute lokosta danuvartate. Whatever activities a great man performs, the common men follow. Whatever standards they set, the rest of the world follows that standard. You are the king. We are sannyasis. We have never dug wells or lakes. We don't know how to dig. Why don't you show us? Just dig for a few minutes and show us how to do it, and then we will follow your lead. Because yad yad acharati shrestha tat tat eve tarachana. As you do, we will follow your example. King said, wow, very good, let me show you, come on, let's go. The king took a spade and started digging to show, to demonstrate how to dig. And when all the ministers and the soldiers, they saw their own king digging, they could not just stand by and watch. They also took spades and they also started digging. And by the influence of Shripad Madhvacharya, they just kept digging and digging and digging and digging. And Madhvacharya looked at his disciples and said, let's go. And Madhvacharya just walked away. He continued his journey. And by his influence, the king, his ministers, his soldiers did not even realize what had happened. And they kept on digging. There's a very valuable lesson here for all of us. The king was doing a pious activity in an impious way. We have to introspect. We have to search our own hearts to see if we are also doing this with our friends, with our co-workers, with the people we meet during book distribution, with our family members, extended family members. Are we doing this? Doing a pious activity in an impious way? Doing a Vaishnava activity in an avaishnava way? Are we preaching to them the right philosophy in the wrong way? We have to ask ourselves. The king was doing pious activity, but he was doing it in an impious way. He was forcing people, capturing them, arresting them, and forcing them to do free labor. Similarly, when we preach, when we give a correction, when we give a feedback, when we try to elevate the consciousness of others, we have to do it in a way that will work. We have to do it in a way that is proper and correct. We have to do it in a Vaishnava way, not a Vaishnava way. Sometimes we are so forceful, we are so enthusiastic about preaching that we just blast people, chastise them, correct them. And we think, I have spoken the right thing. I have pleased Srila Prabhupada. I spoke fantastic philosophy. But what effect
has your so-called fantastic preaching, what effect it has had on that person? Is he going to come closer to Krishna, or is he going to go away from Krishna? I remember once we were doing book distribution and someone came to our table and said, Hare Krishna, I am from The Art of Living. Nice to see you. What books do you have? So one of my friends, very enthusiastic person, he very harshly told this visitor, you are from Art of Living? Come here. We have something better than what you have. We are going to teach you the art of dying. This is Krishna Consciousness Movement. We'll teach you the art of dying. Your art of living is useless. And he said it in such a condescending, such a demeaning, such a harsh way. That man just, you know, he smiled very uncomfortably and he just walked away. He was so hurt. So yes, we are doing book distribution. We are doing outreach. But are we doing it in a Vaishnava way? We have to ask ourselves. That is one point. Another point is, this king had a certain idea in his brain, in his mind, that I have to accomplish something. Certain things have to be done. My kingdom needs irrigation. My kingdom needs wells. My kingdom needs lakes. And he wanted it done in a certain way. He had his own ideas, and he was imposing those ideas on others. Whether you want to dig or not, you have to do it. So this is something that we need to introspect on, whether we can impose our ideas on others. You see, in Krishna consciousness, or in any institution, anywhere, any institution, there are leaders. And these leaders are generally of two types. Before we can understand about the leaders, we have to understand something. In Krishna consciousness, all of us are in Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, there are principles and there are details. Four regulative principles. We cannot break them. And then there are details. Whether we should do nirjal on Ekadashi, or we can eat fruits and milk, you know, avoid beans and grains. Whether, you know, we wear tilak to our workplace or not. Whether we keep a shikha or not. Whether we wear saris to all the spiritual programs or not. These are individual preferences. They are not principles. They are preferences. They are details. Details are important. I am not saying details are unimportant. Details make us beautiful. Details help us advance. Details make us even more polished, shining devotees, if we follow them with the right spirit. But most important is the principle. What are the principles? Four regulative principles. Chanting 16 rounds minimum of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day on our Japa Mala. These are principles. There are no two opinions about these. There is no compromise on these. Chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles, fasting on Ekadashi. These are principles. But then there are details also. There are preferences also. Among leaders, there are two types of leaders. There are conservatives and there are liberals. We have all heard these two terms, conservatives and liberals. We hear it all the time. In every institution, there are conservatives and there are liberals. Who is a conservative? A conservative is a leader who wants to conserve and preserve and maintain and protect the integrity of the institution. They want to maintain the purity of the institution. Therefore, a conservative is conservative with the principles. A conservative is very conservative with the principles. Very strict with the principles. Who is a liberal? A liberal is a person who wants to attract as many people as possible into the institution. A liberal wants to attract maximum people and bring them to Krishna consciousness. A liberal wants to make Krishna consciousness tangible and accessible and acceptable to as many people as possible. Outreach. That is a liberal. A liberal is a person who is very liberal with the details. A liberal is a person who is very liberal with the preferences. Liberal with the details. Conservative is conservative with the principles. A liberal is liberal with the details. But when a conservative becomes conservative with the details, he becomes fanatic. And when a liberal becomes liberal with the principles, there is a fall down. Very important for us to understand. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada taught us, be conservative with yourself and be liberal with others. That is a perfect combination of conservative activity. This king, he was imposing his ideas on others. People who were traveling, people who were passing by, pilgrims. What impression will they get about this king? He is a demon. He is running a demoniac country. So similarly, as a spiritual society, our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which is Srila Prabhupada's own body, which is in the line of Sripad Madhavacharya, we have to remember the great sacrifice and the high standards that our acharyas have set. We should understand who is a conservative, who is a liberal, and we have to understand principles and details, principles and preferences in Krishna consciousness. And at the end of the day, we have to remember that I should be conservative with myself and liberal with others. By being conservative with my own self, let me inspire others to advance in their Krishna consciousness. But let me not force them, because Krishna consciousness is a voluntary process. Devotional service is a voluntary process. It is said that Krishna is Bhagavan. He can get whatever he wants. Yet, by his own sweet will, there is one thing that even Krishna cannot get, which we have. There is one thing that even Krishna cannot get, which we have. And that is love. Our love for Krishna. Krishna is thirsty. Krishna is hungry for our love. And he cannot get it. Even though he is supremely powerful, he cannot get it. But we have to give it to him. We have to give it. Devotional service is a voluntary process. Krishna consciousness is a voluntary process. It cannot be forced on anyone. Therefore, let us not force others. Let us be liberal with others, but be conservative with ourselves. And let us try to bring everyone as close to Krishna as possible. This is what we learn from the example of Sripad Madhavacharya and Srila Prabhupada. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sripad Madhavacharya ki jai, Sri Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya ki jai, Sarva Vaishnava Sampradaya ki jai, Itai Gaur Premanandi,
Hari Hari, Hari Hari Bol,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Thank you so much class on Sripad Madhavacharya. It was very inspiring to hear about him. Thank you for the wonderful pastimes. Prabhu, I just had one question that is not really much about Madhvacharya, but it's about just a little thing that you were talking in the beginning about when you were talking about the ghost and you mentioned the, what's that, I think, fifth personality. So my question is not exactly related to Krishna consciousness, rather it is more of a question about medical things. So I've always never connected the two, that is being possessed by a ghost and the problem of split personality, because the split personality, it comes in episodes, right? Prabhu, like, since you're a physician, I thought it would be better to ask you directly. So isn't it something that comes in episodes, that comes and goes, like bipolar disorder, that just comes in phases, but with medication it is controlled? So does this have something to do with ghost possession, was my question. Like, how does it work?
Mataji, I have seen so many patients with bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and the Western medicine, the traditional medicine that is practiced all over the world, which has been developed in the Western world, it's based on the modern science and technology. It is very, 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 very poorly understood. If you ask any psychiatrist, can you explain exactly what is schizophrenia or what is bipolar disorder? It is a very complex subject, and medical science, modern medical science, cannot really explain it. There are many unanswered questions, because modern medical science looks at everything from a gross perspective, whereas these are all disorders of the mind, and mind is very subtle. You cannot see the mind on any MRI or any PET scan or any CT scan. But our scientists, they are trying to figure it out on a material plane by serotonin and dopamine, different chemicals in the brain, and they think that it is because of imbalance. And they have invented different medicines that adjust these chemicals and see if that makes a difference. And it makes some difference. But when you combine the knowledge of Krishna consciousness with whatever knowledge we have with the modern medical science, it is very clear that there are subtle influences which are causing these diseases. Because just based on a gross perspective, based on matter, we cannot explain how a 20-year-old person who was doing okay suddenly starts hearing voices, suddenly starts behaving as a completely different person. And they call it schizophrenia. There are so many different types of schizophrenia. There is schizoid personality disorder, schizoaffective disorder, paranoid schizophrenia. There are different types. There are different types of bipolar, manic type, depressive type. But, you know, this is all, you know, giving names to different conditions. Just based on purely medical science, it is impossible to explain everything. But if we add our knowledge of the Vedas, Krishna consciousness knowledge, into this, and we understand that it could be a subtle body, a soul who is disembodied, you know, who is influencing the thoughts, and the thoughts and desires are superimposed on this person, then we can get a better understanding that, yes, maybe it is like this. And there is a devotee in India. He's not an ISKCON devotee, but he is a devotee of Krishna, and he runs a goshala. I think it is in Maharashtra. And what he does is he takes all these patients who have so-called split personality or schizophrenia or bipolar, you know, who have not even responded to electroconvulsive therapy. They have very, very, you know, major profound depression or any, you know, very severe psychiatric conditions which modern psychiatrists cannot treat. He brings them and he just engages them in the service of cows all those people are told to do is you pick up cow dung, you make fuel patties with that, you feed the cows, you milk the cows, you let the calf drink all the milk it wants, and then whatever remains you milk. Basically just taking care of cows. And within few months, these patients, they get cured. I have never been there myself, but I have heard from reliable sources that it works. So when you request, when you pray, when you beg for a higher power to intervene, this can be cured or this can be managed. Tomorrow is the disappearance day of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And you know that story of Shripad Ramanujacharya, that Kolahal, what was that king's name? Chola king. His daughter, she was possessed by a ghost. And Ramanujacharya just went and prayed to Krishna. He chanted Om Namo Narayanaya. And that ghost left her body and one branch broke of a tree, indicating that the ghost was liberated by the sound vibration of Shripad Ramanujacharya. And then that girl, she was always very grateful to Ramanujacharya. And therefore, when Mahapurna and Kuresh went there, Mahapurna was, Kuresh was impersonating as a Ramanujacharya. You know that story, right? And
yes,
she petitioned her father that you forgive him, don't kill him. Because remember, when I was possessed, he's the one who saved me. So there are exorcists and there are a lot of... it is not something I have very deeply studied, Mataji, but I have seen so many examples, children of my physician colleagues who had, they are fine until they are, 15, 16, and then suddenly their personality changes, and then they are diagnosed with schizophrenia. And the medical explanation is some chemical imbalance, but from the shastras we can understand that this is the age, the teenage years, this is the age when our mind is very weak, and it is going through a lot of changes, it is developing, it is manifesting, because in childhood, our mind is almost very dull, very suppressed. And when the mind is very weak and tender, it is susceptible to being attacked by ghosts and spirits. Yes. So our scriptures are full of it. And I have no doubt that not all, but many of these conditions like, schizophrenia, hearing, hallucinations, these are real. People actually hear hallucinations. And how can you, hear sounds and... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No. I'm just confused about many things because I know a very close person who's extremely close to me who has gone through all this. So I've seen her go through the entire thing. And it's interesting. I just some observations because when she was going through bipolar disorder, right? Yeah, that was the term given initially. When she was going through bipolar disorder, yes, she was imagining things. She was trying to be, she was a little different person and all that. And she was out of control with what she was saying and she was behaving totally different. She was laughing, doing all kinds of things. But then a wrong medication, because she was initially, as you said, exactly during the teenage years is when they are beginning to have the first episode. I'm sorry, I'm talking on the call. I mean, but because it was related to the class, just I'll keep it very brief. What I'm saying is when she was taking the Indian medication kind of suppressed the issue and the episode didn't come for a very long time. But in the U.S. when she had the episode, it so happened that when the American medication that she took, that resulted in schizophrenia. It became a different issue altogether. She started hearing voices. So how did this medication change the issue? And once she stopped that medication and she went back to Indian medication, slowly it mellowed down and she was out of it. So all these kind of confuse me whether how they whether they are handling it with respect to chemicals in the brain or and of course we did Vedic like recommended, like you were talking about go means that is cow related. That is very true because that's what we were asked to do also. And not only that, we were also asked to do for Sudarshan, who is the chakra of the Supreme Lord. So we did all that and it went away. So we don't know because of what it went. And I have an idea that it comes as episodes if it is not in control. So I was very confused. How can bipolar become schizophrenia suddenly because of a medicine? And I don't know, I was very confused. So that's why I asked.
So, Madhavi, this is very simple to understand. I will tell you two things. Number one, bipolar, schizophrenia, these are just names. For us, they are distinct entities.
Mm-hmm.
But from the point of view of Tattva, from the point of view of Krishna,
mm-hmm.
it is all a mental disorder. We have given them different categories, different names, but actually it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spectrum. So the symptoms, the manifestations may vary, may change as the mental disorder progresses. And when the symptoms change, when the manifestations change, we, as medical doctors, give them different names for our convenience. So we can, you know, put them into different boxes. But if you look at the big picture, ultimately what does it boil down to? It's just a mental disorder. That's one thing. That's one thing. Now your question, how can medicines alter the manifestations, right? How can medicines induce hallucinations or cause them to go away? So this is also very easy to understand, Madhuri. Based on our Vedic scriptures, the mind is located in the heart. The mind is not located in the brain. Based on medical science, the mind is located in the brain. But based on Vedic science, the mind is located in the region of the heart. So when we talk about heart, we are talking heart is very closely related to the heart. I'm not talking about the cardiac pump. Heart means when we say, you know, Krishna, you are in my heart. Ishwara Sarabhutanam Hridadeshe Arjuna Trishti, that Hridadeshe, so that heart and mind are connected. But this is the software, this is subtle, isn't it? Mind is subtle. So subtle means software. And body, gross, means hardware. The software is in the mind. But the mind requires the hardware of the brain to manifest what it wants to manifest. And from the brain, the signal goes to the muscles and our karmendriya, and then we act what the mind tells us. Okay? So when there is disturbance in the brain, which the medicines can cause, alterations and disturbances in the mind can be caused by the medicines, pharmacotherapy. Therefore, the mental manifestations will change because you are affecting the hardware. For example, if your keyboard is a hardware, if your keyboard is spoiled, you will not be able to type your email properly. So when the mind, the brain is damaged because of an accident, because of a stroke, or because of medicines, or when the brain is altered because of medicines, or accident, or trauma, or stroke, or brain tumor, the mind will be affected because the mind works through the hardware of the brain. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The brain is not the mind. The medicines are not affecting the mind. The mind, mana, as described in our scriptures, man cannot be affected by pharmacotherapy or stroke or brain tumor or brain trauma. But because the brain is damaged and brain is the hardware through which the software of mind works, the mind will be, the manifestation of the mind will be affected. For example, when somebody has a C-section or has any surgery, we give hypnotics, we give sedatives, we give paralytics, and patient wakes up after 1 hour, surgery is over, they have no memory of it. They did not feel any pain. For that 1 hour, they were as good as dead, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how can pharmacotherapy do this? The mind is awake. The mind cannot be put to sleep, you know. So it is put to sleep because the mind depends on the hardware of the brain, which with our pharmacotherapy we can alter. So therefore, the manifestations of mind will also be suppressed. We can induce coma because of that reason. So mind is the software which we understand very vaguely. And brain, body is the hardware through which it works, which we understand little better. But mind can be affected by subtle things because mind is subtle. It responds well to subtle treatments. And subtle treatment is mantra. Manatrayati iti mantra. So mantra, go seva, praying for a higher power, that has a greater influence on the mind. With the pharmacotherapy, we are only playing with the hardware.
Okay, yeah, makes sense, Prabhu. Yeah. So now, just one more related question was, then how do you, so is autism also something like that works at a different level, or how does that, how do we classify that?
Autism also is
is a disease where the mind is not able to express itself. Mind and intelligence are not able to express themselves properly through the hardware of the body. And again, it is very, very poorly understood. Very, very poorly understood. And again, it is a spectrum, right? From autism. Autism is a spectrum disorder,
right,
all the way to Asperger's. You know, it's, you know, different kids, different adults, they have different degrees of impairment, different degrees of handicap, different degrees of manifestations. But again, it's a problem of mind and intelligence not able to fully develop and manifest themselves through the body, through the brain and the body. So very complex for that. And as long as we are there in this material world, these problems will be there. Even if we figure out some cure for these problems, something else will come out. See, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there was no cure for leprosy. Gopal Chapala was suffering. Now we have a very good cure. We have dapsone. We can rifampicin. We can cure leprosy. But then we got HIV, AIDS, no cure. Millions of people died. Now we have good treatment for HIV. Now if an HIV patient takes treatment, he or she will have the same life expectancy as you or me. The highly active antiretroviral therapy, heart, is so effective for HIV that it cannot be cured, but it can be controlled. Just like diabetes cannot be cured, but can be controlled beautifully with medicines. So HIV we have conquered, at least to a great extent, if diagnosed early and if the patient can tolerate the medicines. But then we have so many other diseases for which we have no cure. We don't have cure for metastatic cancer. So even if we don't have cure for schizophrenia, we don't have cure for multiple sclerosis. But even if we develop cure for these, I'm sure history has proved it, something else will come.
Yes.
We have cure for bubonic plague, pneumonic plague. But there are so many things, new diseases which have come, which we don't read in our itihasas or in our Puranas, which are, you know, Kaliyug disease. So Prakriti, Krishna's Prakriti is very strong and she will always outsmart us. Therefore, we can talk, but the simple thing is, Tadhenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjana evatmakrutam vipakam rudavakvapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetyo mukti padesa dayabhak. We are in Martyalok, we are in Mrityulok, we are in Dukhalayama Shashvatam. Sufferings will come in some form, shape or size. We have to just take shelter of Krishna and try to get out of this place and help others also get out of this place. That is the bottom line.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji.
Anyway, thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I have to unfortunately get back to the hospital.
Okay, Prabhu.
Oh, my God.
Sorry for the boring class. I think it was a...
No, it was so fascinating. I had one question. I hear you have to go. Unfortunately.
Mataji, I've got at least 5 calls in the last 1 hour.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm really sorry. But hopefully we can... You can personally reach out to me, Mataji. Always feel free. You can personally reach out to me or you can ask next time. Whatever you prefer.
Well, yeah. Either way, how to contact you?
Yep. And can you share your phone number, Prabhuji, please?
Huh. I will share it on the group.
Okay. Thank you
all very much. Vasosmi. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari
Bol. Hari Hari Bol.
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai. Thank you, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam. Gopinath Ki Jai. Thank you, Prabhu.